history, apologetics, and current events. From the Housetops, coming up next.
Welcome to From the Housetops. I'm your host, Brother Matthew. In this segment, we continue St. Louis de Montfort's treatment of true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He says, Mary is necessary to God in the sanctification of souls. The conduct which the three persons of the Most Holy Trinity have deigned to pursue in the Incarnation and the first coming of Jesus Christ, they still pursue daily in an invisible manner throughout the whole Church, and they will still pursue it even to the consummation of ages in the last coming of Jesus Christ. God the Father made an assemblage of all the waters, and he named it the sea, mare in Latin. He made an assemblage of all his graces, and he called it Mary, Maria. This great God has a most rich treasury in which he has laid up all that he has of beauty and splendor, of rarity and preciousness, including even his own Son. And this immense treasury is none other than Mary, whom the saints have named the treasure of the Lord, out of whose plenitude all men are made rich. God the Son has communicated to his mother all that he acquired by his life and his death, his infinite merits and his admirable virtues, and he has made her the treasurer of all that his Father gave him for his inheritance. It is by her that he applies his merits to his members, and that he communicates his virtues and distributes his graces. She is his mysterious canal. She is his aqueduct, through which he makes his mercies flow gently and abundantly. To Mary, his faithful spouse, God the Holy Ghost has communicated his unspeakable gifts, and he has chosen her to be the dispenser of all he possesses, in such wise that she distributes to whom she wills, as much as she wills and when she wills, all his gifts and graces. The Holy Spirit gives no heavenly gift to man which he does not have passed through her virginal hands. Such has been the will of God, who has willed that we should have everything through Mary, so that she, who impoverished, humbled, and who hid herself even unto the abyss of nothingness by her profound humility her whole life long, should now be enriched and exalted and honored by the Most High. Such are the sentiments of the Church and the Holy Fathers. Inasmuch as grace perfects nature, and glory perfects grace, it is certain that our Lord is still in heaven as much the Son of Mary as he was on earth, and that consequently he has retained the obedience and submission of the most perfect child toward the best of all mothers. But we must take great pains not to conceive this dependence as any abasement or imperfection in Jesus Christ, for Mary is infinitely below her Son, who is God, and therefore she does not command him as a mother here below would command her Son, who is below her. Mary, being altogether transformed into God by grace, and by the glory which transforms all the saints into him, asks nothing, wishes nothing, does nothing contrary to the eternal and immutable will of God. When we read, then, in the writings of Saint Bernard, Saint Bernardine, Saint Bonaventure, and others, that in heaven and on earth everything, even God himself, is subject to the Blessed Virgin, they mean that the authority which God has been well pleased to give her is so great that it seems as if she had the same power as God, and that her prayers and petitions are so powerful with God that they always pass for commandments with his divine majesty, who never resists the prayer of his dear mother, because she is always humble and conformed to his holy will. If Moses, by the force of his prayer, stayed the anger of God against the Israelites in a manner so powerful that the Most High and infinitely merciful God, being unable to resist him, told him to let him alone that he might be angry with and punish that rebellious people, what must we not with much greater reason think of the prayer of the humble Mary, the worthy Mother of God, which is more powerful with his majesty than the prayers and intercessions of all the angels and saints both in heaven and on earth. In the heavens, Mary commands the angels and the blessed. As a recompense for her profound humility, God has empowered her and commissioned her to fill with saints the empty thrones from which the apostate angels fell by pride. The will of the Most High, who exalts the humble, is that heaven, earth, and hell bend, with good will or bad will, to the commandments of the humble Mary, who he has made sovereign of heaven and earth, general of his armies, treasurer of his treasures, dispenser of his graces, worker of his greatest marvels, restorer of the human race, mediatrix of men, the exterminator of the enemies of God, and the faithful companion of his grandeurs and triumphs. God the Father wishes to have children by Mary to the consummation of the world, and he speaks to her these words in Ecclesiasticus, "Dwell in Jacob," that is to say, "make your dwelling and residence in my predestined children, prefigured by Jacob, and not in the reprobate children of the devil, prefigured by Esau." Just as in the natural and corporal generation of children there are a father and a mother, so in the supernatural and spiritual generation there are a father who is God and a mother who is Mary. All the true children of God, the predestinate, have God for their father and Mary for their mother. He who has not Mary for his mother has not God for his father. This is the reason why the reprobates, such as heretics, schismatics, and others, who hate our Blessed Lady, or regard her with contempt and indifference, have not God for their father, however much they may boast of it, simply because they have not Mary for their mother. For if they had her for their mother, they would love and honor her as a true child naturally loves and honors the mother who has given him life. God the Son wishes to form himself and, so to speak, to incarnate himself in his members every day, by his dear mother. And he says to her, "Take Israel for your inheritance." It is as if he had said, "God the Father has given me for an inheritance all the nations of the earth, all men, good and bad, predestinate and reprobate. The ones I will lead with a rod of gold, the others with a rod of iron. Of the ones I will be the father and the advocate, of the others the just punisher, and of all the judge. But as for you, my dear mother, you shall have for your inheritance and possession only the predestinate, prefigured by Israel. And as their mother, you shall bring them forth and take care of them as their sovereign. You shall conduct them, govern them, and defend them. This man and that man is born in her," says the Holy Ghost by the royal prophet David. According to the explanation of some of the fathers, the first man that is born in Mary is the man God, Jesus Christ. The second is a mere man, the child of God and Mary by adoption. If Jesus Christ, the head of men, is born in her, then the predestinate, who are the members of that head, ought also to be born in her, by a necessary consequence. One and the same mother does not bring forth into the world the head without the members, or the members without the head. So in like manner, in the order of grace, the head and the members are born of one and the same mother. And if a member of the mystical body of Christ, that is to say one of the predestinate, were born of any other mother than Mary, who has produced the head, he would not be one of the predestinate, nor a member of Jesus Christ, but simply a monster in the order of grace. It is certain that if any one of the faithful has Jesus Christ formed in his heart, he can say boldly, "All thanks be to Mary. What I possess is her effect and her fruit, and without her I should never have had it." We can apply to her more than St. Paul applied to himself the words, "I am in labor again with all the children of God, until Jesus Christ my Son be formed in them and in the fullness of his age." When Mary has struck her roots in a soul, she produces there marvels of grace which she alone can produce, because she alone is the fruitful virgin who never has had, and never will have, her equal in purity and in fruitfulness. Mary has produced, together with the Holy Ghost, the greatest thing which has ever been or ever will be, a God-man, and she will consequently produce the greatest saints that there will be in the end of time.
From the Housetops Radio features the same Catholic doctrine, spirituality, church history, and apologetics published for over 40 years in From the Housetops magazine. This program, dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, promotes her cause in the age-old conflict with the powers of darkness. From the Housetops on WQPH 89.3 FM.
The Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary have published two excellent pamphlets for basic Catholic apologetics, The One True Church and The Church or the Bible, mission sermons by Father Arnold Damen. Father Damen was born in the province of North Brabant, Holland, in 1815. He was admitted to the Society of Jesus in 1837 and was one of the band of young novices brought over to this country by Father de Smet, renowned Jesuit missionary to the American Indians. In his illustrious career, which spanned some 50 years of apostolic work before his death on January 1, 1890, Father Damon and his companions conducted missions in nearly every principal city of the United States. He is said to have been more widely known in this country, and at one time to have exercised personally a greater influence than any bishop or priest in the Catholic Church. For by his majestic presence and force of eloquence, Father Damon as a missionary rose to a success that surpassed anything ever before or since known in America. The fiery apostolic zeal of this beloved priest can only scarcely be measured by the 12,000 conversions to Catholicism for which he was responsible, often receiving as many as 60 or 70 souls into the church in one day. It must be noted, too, that amidst all of this remarkable apostolic labor, he managed to found the first Jesuit parish in Chicago and the first college, which later became Loyola University. The One True Church explains clearly and charitably that the only church established by Jesus Christ is the Catholic Church. In the Church or the Bible, Father Damon proves without any doubt that the Bible cannot be the sole rule of faith, which is claimed by Protestantism. For your free copy of The One True Church and The Church or the Bible, contact us at info@saintbenedict.com, SaintBenedict.com, or write to us at St. Benedict Center, P.O. Box 1000, Still River, Massachusetts, 01467.
We'll be back with more from the housetops after this break.
This is Teresa Biasella. I am so happy to be part of this beautiful radio station. It was many, many prayers and work to get this, but we made it. Today, the feast, Christ the King, he had his own day and he did it. Praise the Lord. It's going to be many souls be saved in this place. Amen.
My name is Father Paul Shaughnessy, and we're broadcasting from WQPH 89.3 FM. We're here at the Men's Conference. It's a great day. It's a marvelous way to re-evangelize all our fathers, husbands, and brothers, bring them back to the church, to renew the church, which we need. It's a great day. We're getting prepped now to go to confession. But also, there are many tables here, a lot of pro-life, pro-family action that's so needed, especially today in our culture. We're getting more and more secular by the day, so it's great to see all these advocates for family life, for marriage, and for the good of all, even the poor. So I noticed the vocations director's here, and so that we're doing our best to maybe we'll get a few recruits to the seminary. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. And we're praying for vocation and breakthrough.
We need them. We need them.
And breakthrough as well.
That's right. Breakthrough. Yes. Absolutely. So we'll be seated in the auditorium in a few minutes. I'm a priest out at St. Cecilia's in Leominster. We have five parishes in Leominster. It's a small town, but a lot of Catholics. Two grammar schools, two Catholic grammar schools, so we need all the help we can get out there.
And do you have your website?
St. Cecilia's does, the parish.
In
Leominster, Mass. Yeah, so.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you, Father.
Hey, thank you. God bless you.
I think the key element in discerning any vocation is very, very simple when you think about it, if you're open to it. The first step is to ask yourself, is this something that's coming from me? It's not imposed from the outside. It's not someone else is telling you. That doesn't mean someone might suggest. But if someone's made a suggestion and it resonates with you, it makes sense in your heart, then you need to explore it. And then you don't want to make the mistake I did of going to a Trappist monastery where I never shut up. No, you have to look realistically at the life that's expected of you and ask yourself, if I do this for the next 50 years, will I feel fulfilled or will I feel that I have missed out on something? There's such a variety of expressions of priesthood and religious life that if you have a call to the religious life or the priesthood, there will be a community that's perfect for you. So take the time and effort to find out where you need to be. And the third evidence, I think, of a vocation is this. Do the doors open for you? If people are closing doors, people are telling you, no, this doesn't work, that's kind of a sign God's working through those people. But if it seems like where you go, you feel that you're welcomed, you feel comfortable, you feel you belong, and they make you feel that you belong, that's a very good sign.
Well, hallelujah. So we want to just thank all of you for listening to WQPH. And I found some beautiful holy cards from Mother Angelica. I'd like to offer them to you. As you know, thank you to the people who have thought to send us donations as usual in this time of stress. But we'd really like to see if you might have a little something you could send us. And would love to give you this beautiful holy card of Mother Angelica with the date of her birth, April 20th, 1923, and the date of her death, March 27th, 2016. And I remember we went down on a pilgrimage and we got these cards, these memorial cards, and touched them all to her crypt. And it says on the front, touch to the crypt of Mother Angelica while praying a Hail Mary for you. We'll post this on the website so you can see. But the most important thing, I think, is a mother and a grandmother. I'm putting this holy card of Mother on my family picture to ask for her intercession and ask for her to make all of my family spiritual children of her. So on the back it says, All-Powerful God, out of love for Christ and His Church, Mother Mary Angelica served you faithfully in the religious life. May she rejoice at the coming of your glory and enjoy eternal happiness with all her spiritual children in your kingdom. We ask this, Christ our Lord. Amen. May all of our spiritual children become hers. If you'd like to make a donation, you can go on our website, wqphradio.org, or you can mail it to us at our mailing address, 89.3 FM WQPH, Post Office Box 589, Medford, Mass. 02155. 89.3 FM WQPH, Post Office Box 589, Medford, Mass. 02155. God bless you.
We're going to tap into one of our favorite spiritual sources, Hammond's Meditations, for the necessity of a rule of life. This is very important, more important than some people might think, that a structured, ordered life is necessary for advancement in perfection. We see our Lord Himself always keeping engraved in the middle of His heart the most holy will of His Father as the only rule of all His actions, whether small or great. Never once did He follow His own will. At every moment, His Father's will was the law of His conduct. How adorable He is in this life of loving submission to the divine good pleasure. And let us render to Him our homage with this object in view. A Christian who lives without rule lives at the bidding of changing feelings or moods, a vacillating will, or under the influence of circumstances which carry him away as by a whirlwind. There is no order in the employment of his time. There is no ingredient of faith in his actions. It is not God whom he serves. It is his own will or his own mood or feelings that rules over all that he does. Thus, exercises of piety omitted, abridged, or badly performed. Numerous duties neglected, so much time lost, so many moments badly employed. With a rule, the exact contrary happens. The rule, which directs everything, constantly recalls the mind to God and renders the soul recollected, and the beautiful order which distinguishes all the exterior actions is reflected within. The soul is always master of itself, and we do everything well, small things as well as great. As each duty has its time marked out for it, not only do we not omit any, but we perform it with greater ease, because we follow a path which is traced out. With more perfection, because obedience raises and ennobles all we do. With greater merit, because the continual submission of our will is very meritorious in the sight of God. With more constancy, because our rule necessarily prevents omissions and maintains everything in order. We are then entirely and solely given up to the present action. Time is always well employed, and we are able to perform labors which someone who has no rule of life cannot comprehend. When we behold the numerous books written by our great doctors, or the prodigious works performed by certain men, we ask ourselves how they were able to do so many things. The secret of the mystery is that everything is regulated in regard to the employment of their time, and that a rule multiplies time. When we have a spirit of order and we know how to arrange our time, we are able to find time for everything. A rule gives a spirit of order, and a spirit of order accelerates all kinds of action. Let us here examine our conscience. Has not our life been irregulated? Sometimes we have been idle, as though we had nothing to do. Sometimes we have been hurried on by an uneasy ardor which embroils and confounds everything together, as if we should never be able to reach an end of anything. We are always undecided as to what must be done, and, for the most part, employed in what we ought not to be doing at that moment. The reason is that we have no rule, or that we do not attend to it. Every good rule of life ought to be in harmony with our position, in such a manner that no duty of our state of life should suffer from it, and that no one should have to complain of us. It ought to embrace the plan of the day, of the week, of the month, and of the year, and should regulate exercises of piety, frequentation of the sacraments, family duties, the employment of free time, so that everyone around us, instead of finding fault, should be obliged to admire the beautiful order which would be its result. The rule being thus made, we must observe its smallest details as well as the most important, with the purity of intention which aims only at pleasing God. With the courage which is able to do itself violence in order to bend the will of it, with joy which makes it a pleasure for us to immolate ourselves wholly to God, with diligence which never allows feelings or moods to be mingled with it, and always with the discretion which enables us to part from the rule every time that charity, propriety, or the duties of position require it. So let us resolve to trace out for ourselves a rule of life, if we have not already done so. And second, to observe it with punctuality and love, even in its smallest details. Let us remember the words of St. Gregory of Nyssa, "He who lives according to rule lives according to God."
St. John Bosco, the great friend of youth, once said, "Frequent Holy Communion and daily Mass are the two pillars of education." At Immaculate Heart of Mary School in Still River, Massachusetts, students are blessed to attend the traditional Latin Mass as part of their daily schedule. Immaculate Heart of Mary School was started in 1976 in response to the needs of families who identified a crisis in Catholic education. To the present day, the brothers and sisters of the Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary continue their educational mission. Immaculate Heart of Mary School, grades 1 through 12, teaches the Catholic faith and its spiritual goals with no apologies. Immaculate Heart of Mary School, preserving traditional Catholic education. For more information, contact immaculateheartschool.org.
The Secret of Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. If by the grace of the Holy Ghost you have learned the secret of Mary, thank Almighty God, for it is a great secret known and understood by only a few. If you have found the treasure hidden in the field of Mary, the precious pearl of the gospel, sell all that you have in order to buy it. You must make the sacrifice of yourself to the Blessed Mother. You must disappear in her so that you may find God alone. If the Holy Ghost has planted in your soul the true tree of life, you must do all you can to cultivate it, in order that you may yield its fruit in due season. This devotion is like the mustard seed of the gospel, which is the least indeed of all seeds, but when it grows up, it is greater than all herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air, that is, those who adopt this devotion, come and dwell in the branches thereof, and rest in its shade from the heat of the sun, and hide there in safety from the beasts of prey. This is the way, predestinate soul, to cultivate it. This tree, once planted in a faithful heart, requires the open air and freedom from all human support. Being heavenly, it must be kept clear from any creatures that might prevent it from lifting itself to God, in whom its origin lies. Hence, you must not rely on your own skill or your natural talents, on your own repute or the protection of men. You must have recourse to Mary and rely on her alone. The one in whose soul this tree is planted must, like a good gardener, constantly watch over it and tend it, for it is a tree that has life and is capable of yielding the fruit of life. Therefore, it must be cultivated and raised by the steady care and application of the soul. And the soul that would become perfect will make this its chief aim and occupation. Whatever is likely to choke the tree, or in the course of time prevent its yielding its fruit, such as thorns and thistles,
must be cut away and rooted out. This means that by mortification and doing violence to ourselves, we must suppress and renounce all useless pleasures and vain traffic with creatures. In other words, we must crucify the flesh, keep recollected, and mortify our senses. You must also keep watch on insects, which might do harm to the tree. These insects are self-love or love of comfort. They eat away the foliage of the tree and destroy the fair hopes it gives of yielding fruit. For self-love is opposed to the love of Mary. You must not allow destructive animals to approach the tree of life. By these animals are meant all sins. They may kill the tree of life by their touch alone. Even their breath must be kept away from it, namely venial sins, for they are most dangerous if committed without regret. It is also necessary to often water this heavenly tree with the fervor of piety in our religious practices, in our confessions and holy communions, and in all our prayers, both public and private, otherwise it will stop yielding fruit. Do not become alarmed when the tree is moved and shaken by the wind, for it is necessary that storms of temptation should threaten to uproot it, that snow and ice should cover it, so as, if possible, to destroy it. This means that this devotion will of necessity be attacked and contradicted, but provided we persevere in cultivating it in our souls, we need not fear. Predestinate soul, if you thus cultivate the tree of life, freshly planted in your soul by the Holy Ghost, I assure you that in a short time it will grow so tall that birds of heaven will come to dwell in it. It will be a good tree, yielding fruit of honor and grace in due season, namely the sweet and adorable Jesus, who always has been, always will be, the only fruit of Mary. Happy the soul in which Mary, the tree of life, is planted. Happier the soul in which she has acquired growth and bloom. Still happier the soul in which she yields her fruit. But most happy of all, the soul which relishes and preserves Mary's fruit until death, and forever and ever. Amen.
From the Housetops is produced by the Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Still River, Massachusetts.